The Aisling Murphy murder trial has heard from further witnesses on the day of her death, starting with a woman who believes she was followed by an individual cycling closely behind her just hours before Aisling Murphy met her death. For the record, 33-year-old Yosef Pushka of Linalee Grove in Mucklagh denies murdering Ms. Murphy along the banks of the Grand Canal in Tullamore on January 12th, 2022. Our court's correspondent, Frank Graney, as ever, has been watching proceedings. Morning, Frank. Let's talk about Anne-Marie Kelly, this lady who told the jury about a man she noticed cycling closely behind her.
That's right. And I suppose Anne-Marie Kelly gave her evidence yesterday, and we'll go through it in detail in a moment. But it's not the first time that the jury has heard of Anne-Marie Kelly, or indeed seen her, albeit yesterday was the first time they saw her in person, because in a CCTV compilation that was shown to the jury yesterday, Anne-Marie Kelly featured in a number of clips, and they were shown to her again yesterday for the first time. She confirmed when she got into the witness box that she had never been shown that CCTV footage. Marie Kelly, like Aisling Murphy, is a primary school teacher. She was living in Tullamore at the time, still living there, she said, and she was out for a walk with her dog, Joey, on the afternoon of the 12th of January last year, which, as we all know, is the date that Aisling Murphy was allegedly murdered. And just by the McDonald's in Tullamore, she said that she noticed somebody on a bike behind her. She described that cyclist as being very close to her, cycling the bike very slowly and staring directly at her. And she said she stopped to let him pass. She moved in to let him pass, and he didn't. She kept going. She said she felt very uncomfortable at this point, and shortly afterwards then she said that she just stopped and she looked at her phone to make sure that he had to pass her. He did so in what she described as really, really slow motion. She said that he looked back over his shoulder. He was staring at her for what she felt was like minutes, but was probably no more than a few seconds, she said. She described it as an intimidating stare. That's how she felt when he was looking back at her on his bike. She gave a description of the bike. She said it was dark grey in colour. She gave a description of the man. She said that he was wearing a dark zip-up jacket. She said it was opened. He was wearing black tracksuit bottoms, 5'7" or maybe 5'8" in height, of slim build, with a shaved head, black stubble and dark eyes. And specifically in relation to his eyes, Miss Kelly said that she really noticed them. She described them as very distinctive, really dark eyes. She also said that he had very dark eyebrows and sallow skin. She said she kept going. She got as far as the canal. She went straight in the open gate. She went on to the grass there. And as I'm sure your listeners will be very familiar with the Grand Canal in Tullamore, but the jury has already been told that on one side of it is a tarmacadam path that people will cycle and walk and jog on. And on the other side then there is some grass that people will also use. But she, Anne-Marie Kelly that is, decided to let her dog off the lead. And she went on to the grass section of the canal in the hope the bike wouldn't be able to follow her. She described it as a quick decision. She also described it as perhaps a foolish one, because she said that she did notice the man again standing to the left of her. And when she took that route, he was now off his bike, looking at her apparently, looking around him also, she said. She said that she was nervous of this man. She kept walking very fast, noticed he was behind her, walking the bike quite fast down this grass section of the canal, maybe a few metres behind her at first, but she said that he caught up with her. And at one point, when she met a white van along that route, she said that he was within 1 metre of her. A farmer was next to that or near that white van. She said that he came out and they exchanged hellos, and she kept walking nice and fast. And for some reason then, a short distance away, she said that she had to stop, maybe to tie her shoelace or perhaps to get her dog to follow again. Joey, the dog, was off the lead at that point. And she said that when she stopped, she noticed the man had got in front of her again. He was walking his bike very, very slowly, maybe 10 feet ahead of her at that point. So she said that she decided to put the head down and to jog on, conscious not to make eye contact with him or to engage with him in any way. And this, according to her, was at about 20 past two in the afternoon. And as the jury has already been told by the prosecuting barrister, Ms. Anne-Marie Lawler, it is believed that Ashling Murphy was murdered along the canal at about 3:30 that afternoon, so a little over an hour later.
So that's what Miss Kelly said to the prosecuting questions, but the defence probed a bit further, and what was their position?
Well, Michael Bowman, who is representing Josef Puszka, essentially put his client's version of events to Ms. Kelly in the witness box. Again, as you say, this was under cross-examination. And he said that Mr. Puszka does remember passing her that afternoon, remembers looking at her, but that he denies staring at her. And Ms. Kelly replied, "That's my recollection." Mr. Bowman then put it to her that Mr. Puszka was not following her that day. And she replied, "It appeared like he was following me. That was your sense?" She was asked. "Yes," was her answer.
So who else gave evidence?
Well, we heard from a number of witnesses in relation to a man apparently walking along the N52 on the evening that Ashling Murphy was killed. One of them who gave evidence yesterday is a woman called Niamh Arthur, and she described leaving her office in Tullamore maybe at about 8:30 that evening. So that would have been 5 hours after the prosecution believe Ashling Murphy was murdered. And she said that she was heading back to her home in Kilbeggan. Her boyfriend was driving them back to Kilbeggan. They took the N52. And she said that on that road, she noticed a man in dark clothing on her side of the road. Again, she was on the passenger side. Her boyfriend was driving the car. And she said she got a fright. He was wearing dark clothing, this person that she saw on a dark road on a dark night. And she said it looked suspicious. She described this person as being tucked in at a weird angle towards the verge, acting weird, she said. They locked eyes. He looked shocked. He looked lost, was what she told the jury yesterday. In relation to his age, she described him as maybe being in his mid-30s or thereabouts. She said that he had medium tan skin. And she said that it's not somewhere that you'd find yourself walking along that road at night. She said that on occasion she may have seen pedestrians walking there during the day, but never at night time. And she thought that maybe he got kicked out of a car or something like that. She said that he was trying to be hidden. Roy Jennings was another witness who gave evidence about seeing a man along that stretch of the road. He said that he left his house that evening at about 8:20. He went down to the car park on Dangan Road because he had heard what had happened on the canal that afternoon. So out of curiosity, he went down to the car park, spent a little bit of time there before going to Aldi to do a bit of shopping. Aldi is quite near the Tesco, we heard. He said that he was driving along the Dangan Road, took a right to the roundabout to go down the N52, and he said that when he took that right turn, just as he passed a recycling centre, he said in the pitch black, a guy just appeared out of nowhere. He said that he felt like he could have easily hit this man with his car. He said the man was walking on the side of the road. He had his back to him. He was wearing dark clothing. He continued on his journey, passed him, went to Aldi, picked up his shopping, spent about 10-15 minutes there, drove back the direction he had come from. And again on the N52, he said a few yards up the road, he said he came across this same individual, this time on the left-hand side. He said that the man had crossed over, was now facing his car as he drove past. And he said that his tracksuit bottoms stood out for him. He said they had they were black with a cream or white stripe down the side of the leg on the outside. He said they looked dirty, looked roughed up as if the man had been rolling in grass or muck. He had a dark top, and he also pointed to his own facial hair in the witness box yesterday. Mr. Jennings described this man that he saw having a smeg similar to what he had, although he did say that it was a lot darker than his own. He said the man appeared Middle Eastern. And on the back of what he knew of what happened on the canal earlier that day, that somebody had been attacked and had died along the canal that afternoon, he said that he wondered, could this be the guy, but figured it couldn't be because at that stage he believed the guards already had a suspect in custody. A couple of days later then, he said that he was sent a CCTV image of the alleged suspect on a bicycle, and the first thing that he noticed was the distinctive tracksuit bottoms that he saw that evening, the white stripe. He said they looked very similar, the person looked very similar to the person that he saw walking along the N52 that night, and he said that's why he contacted the Gardaí.
Well, further evidence will be heard as the trial continues. As ever, Frank Graney, thank you for your time.